Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another game felt like from the outset that it was all Packers. We had a chance to cover later on in that one, but I don't know that it really ever felt that we had much of a chance there if you were on Washington getting 3.5 points. Welcome on in. It is a Football Friday. It's Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetMGM Network. We've got Friday Feels in 20 minutes from now. We'll go over some other college plays, big sports betting news on the college front that may have slipped under the radar yesterday. A lot of topics like this are going to kind of go under the radar because as you're getting geared up for the weekend with football, everybody's talking NFL, you got Thursday night football, college football going. Some of these stories kind of skate by and it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. We'll get to that coming up. It involves sports betting. Some of the big matchups of the weekend, the ones that we have strong opinions on, we'll cover them all. We'll break down games. We'll do it during 2 minute drill. Kelly in Vegas in her usual Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern spot, where their favorite college football plays of the weekend. All right, let's just keep moving them. Keep on dropping them. Packers Super Bowl, love MVP, Packers favorite to win the NFC. Like, it's immediate. Nobody's waiting. Nobody's waiting for a month to see what happens with Parsons and company. Oh, you got Jaden Reed going down for a while? We don't care. They're the best team. Apparently, we've had some laughs over it this week. They looked impressive again against an NFC contender, but the Packers didn't give you really any reason to doubt them last night.
They could not run the ball. And by they, I mean the Washington Commanders. How about 19 carries for 51 yards? That's 2.7 yards per pop. You are not going to win many football games when you cannot run. And look, I came out on Wednesday. We did our power ratings. I said the number one overreaction was that the Green Bay Packers defense was elite. I was making fun of anybody who even thought that it was elite. Maybe I'm wrong. We have another data point. It's only two games, but holy cow. I didn't realize that they were this good on defense. So I will wear that one. I also thought Jaden Daniels was very bleh in the game. So what's the truth? Is Jaden Daniels as great as he was last year, or is he starting to show signs that you can figure him out? I don't know. I don't know that answer. But even though Green Bay was just dominating them in the yardage category, I mean, there was a point in that game where the Packers had, you know, 400 yards and the Commanders had like 150. And you look up and you're like, well, if they get the score here and they get the ball back, they might be able to cover. That was vintage NFL with Roger Goodell. One team is clearly dominating on the stat sheet, but the other team is doing just enough to hang around and potentially cover. And what do you know? Commanders get the ball down 9 with like a minute 30 left to go, and there's a chance that they could somehow cover that game. It didn't make sense, but that's how it happened.
Most of what we're going off at this point in the season is on last year. Because if you reference week one too much or one and two, it's going to be a small sample size theater, and we understand that. So that's really what we're going on. Even though there have been a lot of changes, and we know in this league it's a worst to first to worst league, and teams go into the playoffs, teams are bounced out that were in it last year. We don't know what's going to happen with the opponents that they've played so far. But you look at the opening part of this schedule for Green Bay, like, man. We're going to find out about them. They've got Detroit. They've got this team. I know they're going through changes, but look at the talent. They're probably going to overcome it. Look at this offense. Shut them down completely. Jaden Daniels and that offense. Sure, there are factors of luck that were involved last year. We don't know what they're going to be this year, but last year they were phenomenal. So you take out the Lions, and now you take out the Commanders. And here come the Browns. So we're going to hear after three games, likely, this is a top-notch defense. It's hard to criticize anything. And I understand the move. I would not be part of it, but I understand the move. If you pull up the BetMGM Super Bowl odds this morning, it is Bills plus 550 because, of course, they win that tilt last Sunday night against the Ravens. The Ravens are plus 600. So let's put those two teams at the very top. Now, it differs from book to book, 50 cents here, 50 cents there. But they've got Bills Ravens right there. After the Ravens, they've got the Packers to win the Super Bowl at plus 650. 550, 600, 650 Green Bay, plus 700 Philadelphia. And that's when you have a separation. That separation being the Chiefs are 12-1. Is the top four right? Is that order right?
I don't know. I have no idea what to think. But the math is very telling that the Packers now have shorter odds than the Eagles. And the Packers are favored to win the NFC Championship. And your Super Bowl favorite in terms of matchup, like pick the finalists, your favorite right now is Buffalo Green Bay. That's where we're at. That has the shortest math. 14-1, Buffalo Green Bay Super Bowl finalists. All right. You mentioned the schedule, too. The next four games, at Cleveland, which you should win, at Dallas, which you should win, then the bye week, then you're home against the Bengals at the Cardinals. They flashed that on the screen last night as Green Bay was up two scores, and I'm thinking, here we go, 5-1, maybe 6-0 out of the gate. I mean, not to get too ridiculous, but that's a schedule where you're going to be favored. You're definitely favored at Cleveland. You're favored at Dallas. You're favored at home against Cincinnati. And you're favored at Arizona. So that's where I go. I don't want to sit here and say the Packers are winning the Super Bowl, though. But we had Nate Collins on last week, and one half of his Super Bowl prediction, the other half was the Patriots. The main part, the ribeye to the potatoes and the veggies, was Green Bay is winning the Super Bowl. He also said Packers between 7-12. That was his margin of victory last night. So he checked that box and he came on the show and said, he did. He said, my favorite bet is Packers between 7-12.
He did.
Cha-ching! Because they win by 9. He said, Packers win the Super Bowl. And maybe we should have listened.
Good thing we didn't rip on him for the 7-12. Maybe it's because we were running out of time in the segment. But I know both of us are like, come on, dude. Really? We're doing that band? He nailed it. That was a good call. Good call out of him. All right. We mentioned how Jordan Love, after the first game, goes from 20-1 to 12-1 for the MVP. Okay, let's pull up the odds this morning. And Jordan Love's the third name. I mentioned yesterday Jaden Daniels was the third name according to the market. That flipped. Now the spot that Love was in, you've got Jaden Daniels going down to, and now they're saying Jordan Love is a third favorite. He's plus 850 over at BetMGM. You've got Josh Allen plus 300, Lamar plus 400, Jordan Love plus 850. Behind him, Burrow, Mahomes, then we get to Jaden Daniels. They're saying that Jordan Love, top three quarterback in the league. I get it. It looks like, as you just went over with that schedule, this team is probably going to have an excellent record, and the quarterback of the team is going to get a lot of credit.
The Packers were so good on defense that Dan Quinn didn't know what to do on fourth and short. There were a couple times in that game, fourth and four, fourth and five. Dan Quinn deprogrammed. I think he was just shook. And that crowd was electric. Man, Micah Parsons just all over the field. All over the field. Can we talk about the room? Because I'd like to talk about the room. Most bet props last night at BetMGM. The number one prop got home. Jaden Daniels' pass completion's over. The other four props, all lost. All lost. 1-4. Yet again.
Were they close? Do they have a chance?
Not really. No. Not really. Okay. Jaden Daniels passing yards over. He had 200. The room needed 227. Jaden Reed got knocked out of the game early. He had over 37 and a half yards. He did have a touchdown pass wiped out, though, which kind of sucked if you had the over there. So he catches the touchdown pass. It gets wiped out from a penalty, and then he gets hurt. So that was, I don't want to say bad beat, but that was an unfortunate series of events if you had the over on Jaden Reed's receiving yards. Kroski Merritt, 37 and a half rushing yards. He had four carries for 17. And then the other room play was Deebo Samuel, over 4.5 rushing yards. He did not have a single rush.
Hmm. Again, we should just do that. Just fade it. Just fade it.
Three-hour show. We just fade the room the whole time.
I see why people just listen to Lightning Bets. Because a lot of times we mention the room there, and we're like, hey, just a reminder. Here you go. You mentioned Parsons there. Played more snaps. He's played a lot of snaps in a matter of just days now with that quick turnaround. Incredible impact out of him. Like, you see the difference. This is not a surprise to anyone that's been watching any semblance of football, but it is worth noting that they had a decent pass rush before, and people are taking a look at it and saying, this is the over-the-top move. Whether or not you believe in Jordan Love and his consistency and all that, whether or not you think that they have enough receivers, by the way, when we look at the history of the NFL, how often are receivers winning Super Bowls? It's about the trenches, and they are at another level with Micah Parsons, and he's just getting started. It was a limited snap count in his first game, and he was making an impact. He played much more last night, and they were highlighting it on TV, and they should have. Jaden Daniels had a rough time. How's it going to go for Joe Flacco next week?
Probably not good. He had half sack last night. I thought he could have had two or three. So how did they grade that? Because you needed to have a sack, right? Like, if you get a half sack, it doesn't – like, if you bet Micah Parsons to get a sack and he has a half sack, that doesn't get you home, correct?
There is one sports book that takes sack props that lines it at a quarter. So that would be a winner for you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
the
right.
The green book does a quarter. The blue book does a half. Yeah.
So you would have pushed on the half, and then if you needed him to just record one sack, you're a loser. He should have had at least two. I counted at least two that he should have had. And there was one where Jaden Daniels, Parsons is just bearing down on him, and Jaden Daniels somehow wiggles out of it and scampers forward, so it wasn't a sack. It should have been a sack. He was all over the field. And it's not like his snap count was insanely high. I mean, there were several third downs when he wasn't out there. So they're just easing him along, conserving energy, whatever it is. Obviously, he's got the back issue, but that's a mean team. And how about another under, Joe? We have now had 17 NFL games this season. The under is 13-4. 13-4.
Man, it's with last night, everything that we do, yes, another under hits. It's hard to just get away from. Everything is coming up Packers, and it's early, and we just started week number two. We understand that. Micah Parsons dropped in DPOY, too. There's another reaction. He's plus 450 as your favorite. A little bit of separation between Parsons and Garrett. Here are the numbers on Parsons last night. You're right, a half a sack. However, he generated a team-high 8 pressures on that half sack. So six of those pressures from Next Gen Stats, they have those coming in the second half. That makes a lot of sense. Pin your ears back. He was firing on all cylinders. So they're going to be tough to beat, man. That's kind of where the conversation starts. Stinks for Jaden Reed. 6 to 8 weeks, they're saying, with a broken collarbone. So that hurts the receivers on the outside. Packers will probably be just fine.
Yeah. I don't know how Tucker the dog fared last night. I would love an update there. I can tell you Tucker Kraft dominated. All this talk about the Packers. Who's the wide receiver one? Who's their best wideout? Maybe their best pass catcher is Tucker Kraft, who had 6 catches for 124 yards and a touchdown, by the way. He looked like prime George Kittle, prime Travis Kelce last night. He was everywhere. Even had a 57-yard catch and run. He was outstanding last night for Jordan Love.
Yep. College front, the college card gets going with NC State winning by 10 over Wake. NC State covers. They were favored by just over a touchdown. That was a 7.5-point number. And early in the week, one of the biggest movers that we noticed was the total dipping down. And we go over 58 points. I believe this one closed 52 in the hook. So you had some sharp money on the under in this game. It goes over, as there was a fire in a food truck during that game last night. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did not, but I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, you got to check out the video during the break. All right, Friday feels. It is a football Friday. We've got a lot of thoughts on NFL, college football action. We get to that on the other side. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, Friday Feels. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Are you feeling something? Let us know. Bet_sweats on X. Bet_sweats. Don't forget, you can leave a voicemail. That would be fun if people leave their Friday Feels on voicemail. On the Odyssey app, go to BetMGM Network. We will recover those. And Sam, I mentioned it to you. You had not seen the video last night. And yeah, I just saw a quick clip of it. I didn't understand the timing and all that. It's hilarious. If you go back and watch this fire, I think we can say hilarious because everyone's all right. That went on just outside of the stadium during Wake Forest NC State.
Lots to unpack here because yes. the poor cook in this, what would you call it? Like a truck. It's like a food truck. Essentially.
Food truck. It's a food truck.
Yeah. That's what it is. He's in there with the fire extinguisher trying to just go to work on this huge spreading flame. I would have been out of that thing ASAP. I'm gone. You'll never see me again. Like, I quit. I'm never coming back. I'm gone if the food truck engulfs in flames. This guy, give him credit. He's in there with the extinguisher. He's trying to put it out, doing his best. So the food truck is burning, also burning inside the stadium. Any bets on Wake Forest +7.5? Wake had a 14-0 lead. Wake was covering for about 55 minutes, but Wake did not score a single point in the second half. NC State 17, Wake nothing. That's your second half box score. And NC State kicks a field goal with about 6 minutes left to go up 10. Wake does not get inside the back door, 34-24. The truck burned outside. The Wake bets burned inside.
But during the fire, they're up 14-0. So if you're holding a Wake ticket, you're up 14-0. Place is burning. Smoke all over the place. Do you have to go Friday feels? Mm-mm. No, not feeling it. Other side, even though you have a 3-touchdown-plus edge at that point?
I don't know. I just feel
I have to.
I feel for Chalks. I feel for the truck.
I'm on the website right now. You got to go to this website.
What is
Chalks
it?
BBQ, give it to me. ChalksBBQ.com. ChocsBBQ.com. Just the logo is hilarious to me. I don't know why. The man staring at you.
Yeah.
You see this
very
guy
wild logo.
With his overalls. I do. It's insane.
Who does he look like?
Friday
usually
feels,
I'm good at the I don't know. Who does he look like game. I don't. He looks like somebody. Anyways.
I know. I'm kind of creeped out by him.
He looks like Gary Friday, Sinise. That's who it is. He looks like Gary Sinise.
So, yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Friday feels. What do you think? You look like Gary Sinise, sir. Shock.
Friday feels, I feel like I'm not going to leave the house tomorrow. That's how I feel. I don't want to do anything tomorrow. I want to wake up late, maybe like 10 o'clock, and watch football from noon until 1 a.m. when Minnesota beats Cal. That'll be the late one. I will have a bet on Minnesota. There's a tease for Lightning bets. I'm going to order food. I'm not going to cook. Usually on Saturdays, I'm productive. Get up early, go to the gym, maybe hit the grocery store, get some things done, work around the house, outside. Nope. Not doing a damn thing tomorrow. Don't want to hear about it. Don't care. I might not even answer the phone if it rings. That's not true. I will answer the phone in case it's something important. I'm not leaving. I will not. I'm going to go as far as to say this. I will not step outside this house tomorrow. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I'm so sick of driving. Driving back and forth. Oh, you got softball. You got baseball. You got to go to your grandma's. You got to go to volleyball. You got to. Oh, it is. That's all day. I was like, oh, it's good. Thursday, I'll get hyped. I'll get ready for the game. Wasn't even home in time for kickoff because I'm driving to Moni, then Mokena, then Tinley, then Orland Park. And it's just nonstop. The wife needs to get back from Scotland. Thankfully, she'll be back tomorrow, I hope. my life will be in order a little bit. Even though, I don't know, maybe it's because it's been nonstop. It does feel like it was a quick week. Even though we had five full days, it wasn't like last week where it was shortened down to four, maybe just in that football mode, it's like, whoa, all right, we're here now. I have to talk about all these games. You spend a summer previewing a season, previewing every team, and then so much changes with injury reports, just the week to week. Love the football season. Not complaining yet. My Friday feels, though, kind of relates to what we saw last night. And it's what happened, let's say, after the first month of last regular season. And I've noticed that it's carried over. We are dog players. We will sometimes take dogs on the money line. You spotted one of two dogs that won outright last week. And I'm talking about Vegas. The other one was the Brazil game in the Chargers over the Chiefs, right? And I look last night. We have a 3.5-point home favorite. Is never really in doubt. Never really, if you're back in the Packers. And we had a lot of upsets in the first couple weeks when we didn't know anything last year. I'm worried it's going to be a continuation of much of last season, and it's just going to be favorite, 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 because that's what we've seen so far. When we know very little in the sports betting market, kind of chalky last week. Besides, it was low scoring. And it was chalky. The favorites were winning. The two dogs I just mentioned, it was the Raiders getting home, and it was the Chargers. And I'm a little concerned because I'm looking at my card this week, Sam. There's a lot of pluses. And that is normally the case in the NFL with me. The plus last night was a big loser in the Commandos.
That was such a public dog, too. And it morphed into it throughout the day.
Yeah.
You started to hear a little bit on Thursday morning. And then by the time I'm eating lunch, start to see all the texts, all the tweets, book it with Trent, whale bet, Washington, this guy, this girl, Commanders, Commanders, Commanders. Room comes out for the top five props, Commanders. Damn it. I knew it too. My buddy sent me a text right before kickoff and goes, "This is the deadest dog I've seen all season." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "It's just a public..." The free world underdog. At that point, the bet's already in. I mean, what am I going to do? Like, bet out of the bet?
Yeah.
No, not going to happen. We'll see what happens. I hope it doesn't carry over. I played so many underdogs last October. I'm a dog guy, as you alluded to. People know us. They listen to us. We like the dogs. We play unders. It is what it is. I'll play favorites. I'll play the rightful favorite, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some favorites in the NFL this week. Granted, they're smaller favorites. But if I have another stretch like that last October when the underdogs were hitting at 26% or whatever for 4 weeks, it's going to suck. And I will just keep doing it. I will not adjust because I'm stubborn. Those favorites were just, oh, man, like October 2024 was a nightmare for anybody that lined up and tried to play mostly dogs. Mm-hmm. Not great. Let's see. What else do I feel today? I feel like, just to zig when Gurch is zagging, I feel like I may at 6:30 p.m. tonight lay 48.5 with Indiana.
I thought you were going to say go over the win total or something like that.
No.
Yeah.
Heavy. Indiana is a 47.5-point favorite against big, bad Indiana State. What's that final score? I love when the side is 47.5 and the total is 59.5. Basically saying Indiana State's going to score one time. I love when you get a high spread and a relatively low total.
You know, that 10 toes down yesterday from Gertz kind of threw us all for a loop. Like, we were trying to set in, like, okay, what exactly is he saying after this 56-9 win? Like, why is he so upset about it? And I still don't understand. Like, I don't know why that was the – they suck. Like, why? What was your takeaway from your 47-point victory that you did not like? Like, where you're like, they're not going to win a game the rest of the year. They're not going to win a conference game this year.
The defense looked horrible.
9 points.
We saw this last year against bad teams. Cignetti just poured it on. I mean, there were several games last year. Western Illinois, they beat, 77-3 was that final score against Western. Beat Charlotte 52-14. Beat Nebraska 56-7. Beat Michigan 47-10. I mean, they poured it on. Beat Purdue 66-0. That guy showed you. Granted, it's only one season. That's not a very big sample size. But Cignetti proved that he don't give a damn about your respect. Like, he's not going to take it light when his team is in overdrive. So I see that number 47.5 and think, maybe I'll be bored at 6:30. Maybe I'll be bored and just lay a little Hoosiers 47.5 tonight. That's how I'm feeling.
I'm laughing because Jake mentions in the chat, Gertz just on his couch fuming at every opposing field goal.
Oh, that, you know, that could be one of those games.
Yeah.
Indiana's up 50-0, and Indiana State comes in to kick the field goal and cover.
Oh, my God.
Watch that happen. For the cover, the kick is up. It hits the crossbar, and it's in. Field goal, good. Final score, 50-3.
Okay, so I know how you feel about field goals. How are you feeling every time Dan Quinn decided, let's take another 50-plus yard field goal, being on Washington?
The 58-yarder at the end of the half was insane. As he's lining up, too, I'm thinking, is he about to kick a 60-yarder here? Because if you miss, you give the ball to the Packers, who had some time left. And luckily, for our sake at the time, the Packers got in the field goal range, and then they donked one, right? Didn't they hit the upright on the field goal at the end of the second quarter? There were three missed field goals in a row, right? Yep. If I remember that correctly, it was miss, miss, miss. I don't know what he was doing. Like I said earlier, he felt like he was sort of deprogrammed. For as aggressive as they were last year and prone to going for it on fourth and short or fourth and medium, they settled a ton. They had a punt I didn't like. They had a couple field goals I didn't like. I don't know what happened to Dan Quinn last night. He just got away from the script. They were so aggressive and so confident last year on these fourth down decisions. And last year they cut to him and he just had like dumbass face. Like, moo, what do I do? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was very weird because they were so confident last year and they were not confident last night. I guess that's what the Packers defense does to you.
I'm wondering if, like, all the talk of the negative regression that's coming your way on fourth down maybe got into his head or something. Because that 58-yard field goal that you reference, it's fourth and four. You're on the Green Bay 40 with 19 seconds. Fourth and four, they went for it all last year. All that was automatic. It wasn't even a conversation. And he's like, let's go for a 58-yard field goal. And you're right. It almost got him twice. McManus ends up missing a 48-yard field goal as time expired going into halftime. But, yeah, I did not like what I'm seeing out of Dan Quinn either. A lot of missed opportunities there. So, I mean – well, what was it? A nine point difference. Those two field goals come into play, maybe. Like a lot of things. As much as it looked like Green Bay dominated, and they did, if you look at the box score, would they have 400 yards? Yeah, 404 to 230 for Washington. they were right there in cover land. And I think you brought that up on X as well. And more bad news, not to keep this on Washington too much, Eckler. Probably done for the
gone.
It'll be official later today. And as you mentioned, the run game already in dire straits. And now it's no more Eckler. It's going to be all Bill.
I just was looking for something and I came across a tab and I forgot to X out of the Chalk's Barbecue tab and I saw Gary Sinise staring at me. Ah! It's just like, not what I was looking for. I wanted to bring up a couple other injuries that popped. Ed Oliver, I saw this morning, he's one of the Bills' best defensive players. He's in a boot. He's in a walking boot. So I don't know if he's going to play. I think that makes anybody who's thinking about, you know, taking the points against Buffalo makes them a little bit more excited. That's a big number against the Jets. If Ed Oliver's not playing, that calculus changes. And then Brock Bowers not participating in practice yesterday with a knee injury. So injuries are already stacking up, man. We know the whole San Francisco situation. Their entire offense is hurt. Bowers is hurt. Ed Oliver's hurt. Eckler, Achilles. Just keeps coming. The hits keep coming.
A lot of sharp money on the Jets, it sounds like. It's early in the week. Still got a few more, couple more days here, but a lot of money coming in on the Jets, and you can tell from that line movement. I don't know where we are currently, if you have it up, Sam, but I noticed that Circa went to 5.5 yesterday afternoon. Like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, okay. They're 5.5. They are.
Yeah, they're still there. Okay. Interesting to watch, and I did take a peek at where the room is at. That'll be interesting to get to as well. More college on the other side. Joe O, Sammy P, Betsweats.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got a negative sports betting story, but I guess it's good because it looks like it's being caught. But a lot going on in college sports yesterday. And, you know, like we mentioned, it kind of flies under the radar as we are underway in the NFL season, college football going as well. Like, these sorts of sports betting stories are not discussed as maybe they should be, and how much things have changed in college sports. This from Ross Dellinger. The NCAA announces that it is pursuing investigations for sports betting with 13 more athletes at 6 schools. So there was a statement released. I saw it out there making the rounds yesterday, that the NCAA enforcement staff is in the process of alleging violations of sports betting rules and or related failure to cooperate violations for 13 former men's basketball student athletes who competed at 6 schools at the time the conduct in question occurred. Those schools, Eastern Michigan, Temple, Arizona State, New Orleans, North Carolina A&T, and Mississippi Valley. They say additional cases are in various stages of the investigation process. So the NCAA decides, okay, let's put this out there. Let's release a statement. Let's show that we're willing to tell people what is going on here. But for them to make this sort of a statement, that's got to mean they are very close to putting some evidence out there. And we're going to hear more about this one.
It is such a wild landscape now, because sports betting is just crammed down everybody's throats. And this is why a lot of states, when they were legalizing sports betting, did not want to have the advertising on television. I mean, you watch an NFL game. I watched Packers and Commanders last night. Now, the commercials aren't as hot and heavy on Amazon Prime, but take a Monday night football game or a Sunday night football game. And I know a lot of us don't watch commercials anymore because the game breaks and we go to our phones, or the game goes to commercial and we get something to drink or something to eat. A lot of us don't really consume commercials because we have ADD because of these stupid things. But pay attention to how many sports betting commercials are on during your next primetime football game. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And people wonder why are these college athletes gambling? Well, I hate to break it to you. I know college kids at Illinois when I was there that were gambling too. Like, it happened. Don't think the kids on the Illinois football team didn't have a bookie in 2008. The problem is all the saturation in the market creates a bigger appetite, and it's literally everywhere. That's one of the worst parts about the space. And, you know, I feel so many different ways about this whole situation, because legalization has helped us catch more people. Like, guys were getting away with it 15 years ago because it wasn't legal. Guys would have just corner guys, and local college kids were bookies. Like, that's how it was. But now that you can track the paper trail with BetMGM or whatever sports book, you're able to clip people easier. That's how Calvin Ridley got caught in Florida. He signed up, put Calvin Ridley on his account. Like, how dumb can you be? But the paper trails actually make it easier to catch illegal gambling and college players gambling. It's such a weird landscape, though, man, because as much in favor as I am for legalized sports betting, this is not good. It is not good that 13 schools, according to Ross Dellinger, are having issues. Or 13 more athletes at 6 schools, excuse me. Yes, the truth basketball. Is it's probably more than 6. It's probably more than 6.
Yeah, of course.
That's
definitely
the reality.
And the NCAA was willing to go this far and say that this includes student athletes betting on and against their own teams. See, that's the one that Pete Rose was always fighting. Well, I always bet on my team. They're saying in some of these examples that they're betting against their teams. Sharing information with third parties for purposes of sports betting. Knowingly manipulating scoring or game outcomes and or refusing to participate in the enforcement staff's investigation. That is serious, man. Betting on your team to lose. Changing the score, having that sort of power. You know, in basketball, you have a turnover at the end of the game for it to go under the total or something like that. Is anybody going to notice? Or how blatant is it? I also noticed, Sam, small schools. Eastern Michigan, New Orleans, North Carolina, A&T, smaller schools where it probably went unnoticed for a long period of time. I think both of us are on the same page, and a lot of people in the industry are on the page that look, sports betting helps. We're finding this because of sports betting, especially how rampant legalized sports betting is. But, and to your point, yes, it's going to happen regardless. I don't think it happens to this level. Does this happen? What the NCAA is releasing a statement about yesterday. Does this happen if we don't have PASPA overturned? If we don't have legalized sports betting in most states now throughout the country? I don't know. Because I know it's our world and we've been interested in it. And a lot of our friends and we talk to people about it that have been in on it for a very long period of time. We grew up in it in the Chicagoland area where it's always been everywhere, legal or not. But I also, we know a lot of people that had no interest in betting on sports until it was legal. And I don't know that this is happening if it isn't legal throughout much of the country.
It's really impossible to say. I mean, kids would be gambling. Yes, of course they would. But I think we obviously have more gamblers now because of legalization. The other side of that coin, though, without legalized betting, you don't catch a lot of this stuff and you don't have these gaming boards and these people investigating box scores. If sports betting wasn't legal, we wouldn't be diving inside the Utah Valley box score. We just wouldn't. We wouldn't have these agencies that were combing through the play-by-play where, oh, this point guard turned the ball over on 4 straight possessions. We wouldn't care. But now that it's legal, you have to have everything in order and you have to have the checks and balances system. It's a tough look. I'm glad that the NCAA is figuring out what's going wrong and doing something about it. It's not going to stop people from doing this, though. That's the unfortunate part of the equation, because people will always reach out to athletes and say, hey, I will give you this and you do this and we will go on our way. That's happened forever, though. I mean, think about Henry Hill. you know, at Boston College. Like this happened long before sports betting was legalized. I don't know what the solution is. I don't have one for you. I don't think anybody has a solution.
Joe O, Sammy P, this is BetSweat's BetMGM Network getting you set for a weekend full of sports betting on football, whether it be the NFL or college. Top of the hour in 10 minutes from right now, we're going to start breaking down all of these NFL games. We'll start with Bears-Lions and hit a few other games that we have some strong opinions on. We'll be doing that throughout the rest of the show. We are here weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. College football. Maybe you don't have a bet on it, but give me the game, the matchup. You can't wait to see the result. You can't wait to see what happens. Maybe you have a bet on it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just curious about the two teams in the matchup or whatever. What is number one on your list of must-see this weekend?
I woke up this morning after talking to a couple people last night who helped me get here. I am fully in on a Miami blowout tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm there. It took until Friday. It is funny how this works because, I mean, we do a lot of things, you and I. We have several jobs and we do multiple shows and I'm writing stories. And, like, I'll get an email on Tuesday like, hey, what are your best bets? I'm like, dude, it's Tuesday. Chill. Like, it's Tuesday. I don't have a best bet for you. But by Thursday, Friday, I feel pretty good and I'm ready to go. I don't think South Florida is going to be able to stop Miami's offensive line. If you go back and look at the size of Miami's O-line, like I went back and watched that Miami-Notre Dame game. Notre Dame has NFL guys on that D-line, and they were getting pushed around. And then you watch Florida, South Florida, and while South Florida did win, and they deserve full credit for it, Florida kind of worked the line too. But Florida just made these dumb mistakes because that's what Billy Napier teams do. I think Miami is going to beat the snot out of South Florida tomorrow. It took me until Thursday night, Friday morning to get there. And I could be well wrong about this. I know people, Chris Andrews was on the show yesterday saying he had a wise guy take 18. Fine. I laid some 17.5 first thing this morning. First thing I did, 2 feet hit the floor, 10 toes down, got out of bed, and then bet Miami.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason every time we've had a college football guest this week that one of us has brought up this game. And I have brought up, okay, dose of reality. Well, they're going to do it 3 straight weeks now. I'm just mad at myself that I didn't grab the 16.5 on Monday because after Monday, that's when we went through the 17. There's a reason we went through the 17, and we're still there. We're at 17.5. I want to say that the USF side is going to be the public side and maybe we'll get so much money that it comes back down. That's probably not going to happen. And you're right. If you have the opinion of a blowout, why are you sweating 17 over that hook? I don't know that it's a key number, but I get it. Like that 17 games land on 17. But if you feel that strongly about it, just take the 17.5 because if the sharps are on that side, it's not going to come down. It's not that big of a game. So we're on the same page. I had that thought during Monday morning market moves, and then I didn't act right away, and I've been annoyed at myself, hoping it would come back down. It has not budged since moving up to 17.5. So, yep, we are on the same page there. I have gone back and forth, and I think you kind of talked me into this. Like, early in the week, I was thinking Tennessee. And the more people we talk to, and you brought up the point about Georgia, and just be careful. Take a look at these injuries. Georgia hasn't played anybody. They haven't brought their A game yet. They're just kind of coasting through the beginning of the season, couple of patsies first couple weeks. It's not a game I'm betting, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens because I could see either thing happening. I could see the real Georgia team showing up, or maybe Tennessee pulls off the upset at home.
I have a short quote from Tony Miller, Golden Nugget. They are betting Tennessee, and they will not stop. They will not stop.
When you hear they, the dummies or smart people?
Everybody. Sharps everybody. And squares. It's a pile on.
All right. NFL week number 2. Breakdowns next. Joe O, Sammy P. You've got that sweat.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.